Welcome into Bet on Chicago. Danny Burke here with the Vegas Stats and Information Network. As always, broadcasting live in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can follow me on Twitter at Danny Burke 5, our producer Jacob Roach at Roach underscore 97. Another good show planned for you in just a few minutes. We'll welcome on JVT, host of The Edge over at VSiN, at me underscore JVT is where you can follow him on Twitter. Talking all things NBA, the restart with him, the news revolving Zion and the Pelicans, what kind of impact that will have. Go over some win totals and much more. Then, before we get to our final guest of the show, no Chuck, by the way. Chuck is on vacation this week. We'll have him back hopefully next week, and we'll get an update over at Station Casinos and kind of the perfect timing leading into what we hope is going to be the return to the major sports. Speaking of which, I'll be going over all baseball stuff. I'll be hitting a bunch of props that I've circled out that I like. We'll look at some odds and numbers over at Bet Rivers for the Cubs season win totals. The White Sox, and another team, too, that I think there's a good opportunity to get a play on. And then we'll look at some DraftKings odds, too, because they've done a really good job with some of their props they've offered throughout the MLB. Yes or no for a team to make the playoff. A few teams have kind of stuck out to me in that area as well. And just some other baseball props that we've gone over throughout this past week over at VSiN that I think have some good betting opportunities. And we'll continue on with baseball. We'll bring on VSiN's betting reporter, Josh Applebaum, to end things out. Had a great article and Point Spread Weekly. Remember VSiN.com/subscribe to get all of the exclusive content. He had some good write-ups about baseball going into the season, some of the win totals that he liked. He's got a couple unders, couple overs. We'll talk Cubs Sox with him as well. So we got a jam-packed show in both basketball and baseball for today here on Bet on Chicago. But first, we welcome on Jonathan Von Tobel, host of The Edge. Remember, you could follow him at me underscore JVT on Twitter. JVT, thanks for taking some time, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little upset because my Twitter handle is at me JVT. There is no underscore in there. Get it right. I need all the publicity and fans to feed my ego. So,
did you switch that up? Is that new?
No.
Or no? Okay. You know what?
Let's
you're
go,
right.
Danny. Yeah. Let's go.
Here's the thing, JVT. I've been really good at all
Strap
these handles,
it on,
and it's because Applebaum, Josh Applebaum, he's got the underscore. I flopped. That's on me. Bad start, JVT. He's already never going to come back on the show again, but hopefully we can make it up by the time the segment ends. But JVT, let's talk about basketball. The big news with Zion Williamson the other day. Of course, he's going to be coming later to the restart, had some family issues. The Pelicans, 3.5 games out from that eighth spot in the West. What does this mean for New Orleans? What does this mean from a betting aspect? How are you interpreting this big news?
I would say that it doesn't mean much at this point because we don't know how long he's going to be gone, right? Like, that's the thing. You know, we still have, we're about, what, 2 weeks away from the start of the season. Let's say he's back in 4 days. If he doesn't test himself every single day while he's gone, then the quarantine is going to be 10 days. But let's say he's gone 4 days and gets himself tested all 4 of those days. His quarantine when he gets back into the bubble is only going to be 4 days, right? So it just really depends on the timetable for him and when he's going to come back. So I think at this point, if you're looking at this from a betting perspective, I think really right now it's status quo because you don't know what's going to happen. And now when you get closer to the season, if he's still not gone, then you obviously realize that maybe like a game-to-game perspective, you might see an adjustment like, you know, on lines and totals, things of that nature. But if we're talking futures, like if I'm an odds maker, I don't think there's any adjustment whatsoever because at this point right now, we don't know if he's going to miss anything in terms of significant time once it gets to the postseason. And you don't want to overreact in that regard. And I had the same thing with Russell Westbrook, right? Last week, we talked about this on The Edge. I don't think there should be any adjustment whatsoever because even if he tested positive, you still had, at that point, 17 days. He could still get tested. If he gets 2 negative tests within 48 hours, he's good to return to the bubble, has to quarantine a certain amount of time. Like, they'll be fine. So, you know, with him, one, luckily, Zion, it's not a positive test, right? It's just a family issue. But the other part of it is you'd rather have this happen now and break bubble and have to do a sort of quarantine as opposed to in the middle of a postseason series. So I would think from a betting perspective, I think there should be minimal to if like zero movement on anything futures wise for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, and you bring up a major point, and that's if something like this is to happen to a player, and especially a major player like a Zion Williamson, rather have it now early as opposed to later if they make it to the postseason, even toward the end of those 8 seeding games, whenever it may be. And JVT, do you think that this could be, you know, a consistent issue potentially where we see some of these bigger names
leaving as at this point, or is it pretty much you feel pretty certain that these players are solidified in the bubble? Yes, there was a one incident from picking up Postmates or whatever it was crossing the line, but do you feel pretty confident at this point that the bubble is going to go all the way through?
Yeah, Rashawn Holmes for Sacramento. No, I think, look, like the guys who are going to leave the bubble, it's been reported already, right? Like, we know who it's going to be. Gordon Hayward's waiting for the birth of his child. Dennis Schroeder's waiting for the birth of his second child. We know that they're going to leave on what are being slugged as excused absences, right? And excused absences, again, going back to what we talked about with Zion, as long as you test every single day that you're out of the bubble, you can come back and only quarantine for 4 days. So we know that those two are going to happen. Like, we're obviously going to get the guys who either break quarantine like Rashawn Holmes did on accident and you don't have to be quarantined for however long. But I think for the most part, if you're going to get an absence, we're going to know about it ahead of time when it comes to something like this. We know about the two guys who are planned. And after that, it's going to take something like this. Like with Zion, it's clearly like in a medical emergency or an urgent emergency with a family that he has to leave. But for the most part, you're going to be fine. Like, I know that there was a report that there's already been multiple tips called into the hotline that they have set up in Orlando. We don't know like the severity and like the legitimacy of those tips. So you're always going to get those. But I think for the most part, like reading reports, listening to podcasts, like Malik Andrews is doing a good job covering exactly what the process is for every single one of these players. I don't want to say it's airtight, but it seems very regimented and very secure in what the NBA is trying to do in terms of keeping the integrity of the bubble. So like I have faith that it's going to happen. It's not 100%. I'd say it's like 80%, but it's up from my 76.2. That was like a month ago, you know.
Danny Burke talking with JVT here on Bet on Chicago, previewing the NBA restart in Orlando at the end of July. All right, JVT, let's go to some of these season win totals. These are going to be brought to you by BetMGM, the odds, wins, and more. So let's start in the Eastern Conference. No, actually, let's start in the Western Conference, because this team, Jacob and I hit on this either last week or a couple weeks ago, but a team that's really going to be fascinating to watch going into these eight seeding games is the Portland Trailblazers. And we see their win total at 3.5. Now, the over at one point was at +150. The under was -$2. We've seen some action and attention go to the Blazers over, because now it's at +125. The under is -154. We know you get Nurkic back in the mix. No Trevor Ariza. Not necessarily the biggest impact, but their schedule is a little tricky. You get the Grizzlies in their first game, which obviously is going to be the most important. Then the Celtics, Rockets, Nuggets, Clippers, Sixers, Mavs, and the Nets. Do you see the Blazers getting over that 3.5 hump, or is that maybe a team you'd stay away from and look toward the under?
Well, I mean, I think you want to stay away from maybe only because you could have gotten that plus price on the over, right? And now it's in the range where you were talking about. The other issue when you look at the Trailblazers is in terms of their schedule, right, is almost every single one of their opponents outside of, I'd say, the Los Angeles Clippers, maybe, have something to play for, right? And like when you're breaking down these schedules, when you're breaking down these teams, you know, a lot of it's subjective. It's which teams care about what, which teams have seeding to fight for. Clearly, we know Memphis has something to fight for. They're going to play every single game like it's their last. Boston, do they want to maintain that gap into three? Actually try to push to get to Toronto. It's a really hard push to make, but they could potentially do it. But Houston, Denver, the 76ers, Dallas, Brooklyn, like these are all teams that have something to play for relatively. So that's the tough part about their schedule. And here's the other thing when it comes to assessing these schedules, Danny, it's as you get closer to the end of the seeding games, you know, motivation changes, right? Like for the Dallas Mavericks, for example, they take them on the 11th. That's their second to last seeding game. It's their seventh game of their schedule. The Dallas Mavericks by that time could be locked into where they're at postseason wise and not care, right? Or they could be fighting to maybe get up there to surpass Houston or Oklahoma City. We mentioned Dennis Schroeder's not going to play. What if OKC falls down because he misses some significant seeding games, and all of a sudden there's a spot where Dallas can move up to six, right, and take on a different team? So like that's the tough part about assessing these schedules. You can get to the bottom and Philly and Dallas don't give a damn, or you can get to the bottom and see that Philly and Dallas have everything to play for. And so that's why like a lot of these win totals, I think it's relatively tough to gauge where you want to play them. There are certain teams where I think you know how they're going to handle these seeding games, and there's some value in playing those. But when it comes to Portland, I just think there's no value in them in general, whether it's this or odds to win the eight seed, because everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, they're a very popular team to not only win the eight seed, but go over their win total. You mentioned the betting numbers and how they've shifted. Everybody loves that they're getting healthy. And I'm just, they're obviously better. But like Nurkic hasn't played in well over a year. You know what I mean? Like Zach Collins is a good piece and he gets them a little bit more size, but you know, his efficiency numbers from last year weren't amazing. And so I wonder if we're just overvaluing them because we see that they're getting healthy, not realizing the nuances of them getting healthy.
All right, now let's talk about this Pacers team. And I think this is another team that can be tricky to bet on just because of all the news they've been making during this offseason. It's been going back and forth with Victor Oladipo. Is he going to play? Isn't he? We're still not 100% certain. There's even the tweet that they're a team that may fall under that category of just wanting to get out in one piece. We see their win total at 4.5. The over plus 160, the under is the favorite at minus $2. Now, is this a team that you would feel pretty confident going with the under, or is it maybe not that much confidence to lay the $2 for the Pacers?
I didn't have a lot of confidence either way with the Pacers, but I'll say this about Indiana. Whether or not Victor Oladipo plays, right? Let's say he's not. And I had brought this up to Jacob on our show on the Edge, because when it was announced that Oladipo wasn't going to play originally, the line for Philly and Indiana went from -4 to -5. But you have to realize that this is an Indiana Pacers team that has only had Victor Oladipo on the floor for 13 games, right? They have played a majority of the season without Victor Oladipo. And so let's say he doesn't play. You have a team that has played together for the entirety of the season without this guy on the floor. Like, do you really think that's a negative? Like, I'm not sure if that is. He hadn't been playing very well before, right? He'd been shooting 30% from three, 39% from the floor. His last four games before the hiatus were awesome. He was averaging 18 points per game, but it was against the likes of, like, the lower tiered Eastern Conference teams like Atlanta or Charlotte. You know what I mean? And so, like, when you look at this from that perspective, I think if you're looking at Indiana, whether or not he plays, like, I wouldn't say that Victor Oladipo playing is a negative, but if he's not playing, it's definitely, I don't think it's as big of a negative as people make it out to be, because he is a guy who had not played in the majority of the season, who had only played in those 13 games and hadn't been efficient, and this team's used to playing without him. So I think I would keep that in perspective when it comes to the Indiana Pacers.
Danny Burke chatting with Jonathan Von Tobel, host of The Edge over at VSiN, at me, JVT, is where you could follow him on Twitter, talking about the NBA restart in Orlando at the end of July. And we'll stick with the Eastern Conference, JVT, and let's talk about the Celtics. They're at 4.5 as well for their win total with the 8 seeding games. The over is the favorite, -141. The under the dog at +120. You mentioned Gordon Hayward earlier. He's going to probably miss some time. And there's been the reports about Kemba Walker dealing with a little bit of injury. Is this a team that you'd maybe stay away from in these first 8 games?
Yeah, I think I'd probably bet under than anything with the Boston Celtics. And it's not even against, it's not like an anti-Celtics thing. You know, you mentioned Hayward, probably, obviously we know he's going to miss time. We just don't know when it's going to happen. But just look at where they stand in terms of the seedings. They're 3 games back from Toronto. They're, 3.5 games ahead of the Miami Heat. Like, they're pretty, they're comfortably where they're at, sitting in the 3 seed right now. And within the first 3-4 games of the seeding games, they're probably going to be locked into where they're at. And so just from that perspective, you know, once you get 3 games in, Boston just really doesn't have much to play for, right? You just kind of want to get to the postseason relatively healthy, on top of the fact that maybe potentially Gordon Hayward misses some games and you have to go a little deep into a bench that's 29th or 30th in terms of overall scoring. So I just think from Boston's perspective, from a statistic, or from a standing standpoint and from the seeding standpoint, they don't really have much to play for. And so I'm not really comfortable betting them over or having them be successful in these seeding games, because they're kind of just locked into where they're at.
All right. And then a team that could potentially benefit, I mean, obviously benefit, if they're going to really be taking this seriously, they're 2.5 games back from the third place, third seeding in the East, 2 in front of the Pacers, and that's the Miami Heat. And we already talked about the Pacers, not really sure what you're going to get from this team, even if Oladipo is back in the mix. Their win total's at 4.5. The over is as high as +160 at BetMGM, +165, actually. The under is the favorite, -$2. Jacob and I were hitting this team the other week, and we both kind of leaned toward the over, not only because of the value, but just because of that seeding importance to this Heat team. Their last 5 games, you get the Bucks, Suns, Pacers, Thunder, and the Pacers again. The first 3 are the Nuggets, Raptors, and Celtics. We kind of talked about the Bucks earlier, and this may be a team that already solidifies their position by the time they get to play them. So I like the over 4.5 personally, especially at that value of +165. Is this a situation that you would maybe bet and look to play the value there with the Heat, or is it maybe another case where you don't necessarily know what you're going to get right off the bat?
No, I think you're right. Like, in terms of the motivation for Miami, it's very clear, because if you get to the 3 seed, then you get to avoid Milwaukee until a potential Eastern Conference Finals berth, right? So like, that's the whole point, because if you're sitting where you're at right now, if you're Miami, if you somehow move on the first round, you're going to get Milwaukee in the second round. And granted, they are 1-0 against Milwaukee, and they did it without Jimmy Butler. It's like the 3rd game of the regular season, so it doesn't mean much. But like, that's the thing. And so I think you're right in terms of, like, when you're, if you're looking to bet any of these over, I think you hit it on the head. you want to bet over on the teams that you know their motivation is going to be win as many games as possible within these seeding games. And I think they're very few and far between, but Miami's one of them because the motivation of being able to get out of that side of the bracket, I think is immense for the Miami Heat because they could be a team that is potentially deadly and match up with some of these teams relatively well outside of Milwaukee. And they'd rather wait until the Eastern Conference Finals to do so.
Danny Burke with Jonathan Von Tobel here on Bet on Chicago, looking at some of the NBA restart win totals over at BetMGM, sticking in the Eastern Conference. All right, JVT, a team that we've talked about plenty of times when I've been on the edge with you briefly is the Nets. And that's because they keep making the news with a bunch of players either opting out or just unable to play. They've had seven players fall under that category. They tried to pick up Michael Beasley. He tested positive. Jamal Crawford now in the mix for Brooklyn. But we see their win total at 2.5, -110 each way. Any chances Brooklyn team is able to get over the 2.5 hump and get to 3, or is it just going to be a complete mess for the Nets?
Nah, I don't know. In terms of win total, I don't know if I'm comfortable betting them over. You have a lame duck head coach, probably not going to get the job next year. You have a roster that's been decimated, filled with guys that are like maybe potentially playing either for contracts or stats or things of that nature. But for the most part, I'm just not comfortable betting a team like that over. Now, I'll say this. When we're talking about over in the Brooklyn Nets, maybe betting overs on their totals in those seeding games. I mean, look, let's say I know at the last report, Michael Beasley's status was up in the air. Let's say he's on the roster, right? You're talking about a majority of minutes going to Jamal Crawford and Michael Beasley potentially on the floor together. You know, these are two guys who can get hot really quick, but we're not talking about stellar defensive presence. So I think maybe that's something you want to look at on a game-to-game basis for the Brooklyn Nets. But if we're talking about over on their seeding games, I'm not comfortable. Even though their schedule isn't terrible, I just don't know if I just don't know what I'm going to get out of that team.
Now, here's a team that you've mentioned a few times when we've gone over the other teams, and the same thing with the Heat when I brought it up, a matchup that could be very interesting in that people might not think to fade the Bucks because they're the best team in the East. But at the same time, like we've talked about, they might not be as motivated. They might already be solidified, most likely are going to be solidified in that one seed in the East. They don't have the win total at BetMGM, but at DraftKings, they still have the win total posted for the Bucks. It's as high as 6.5. The over is a dog +165. The under 6.5 -225. I mean, JVT, you got to tell me, you're telling me they got to win 7 out of 8 games and this team doesn't even need to. I mean, what's the point? There just seems no value in going with the over to me for this Bucks at 6.5.
Right. And I think it's an important lesson in betting, right? There's a lot of thought that people will see over like $2, $2.20, be like, there's no value in that. No, there is. Like, there's value in almost every number. It just depends on what the situation is. The best example, of course, is Floyd Mayweather being -550 against Conor McGregor. That's a massive value. And so to me, like, I make this win total 5.5 shaded to the under. You mentioned it. Milwaukee, like, again, the issue with these seeding games is what is the motivation? Milwaukee doesn't have any. They're going to be the number one seed overall. They got to win one, maybe two games to lock that in. After that, there's nothing to play for. And so to me, when you're sitting here saying, like, is Milwaukee capable of winning 7 out of 8 games? Hell yeah, they're capable of winning 7 out of 8 games. They're capable of winning all 8 games, but they don't want to. What's the point of doing that? It's just getting out there and getting healthy and getting guys ready to go. So I would bet that under still at the current price. -225 is solid. I'm surprised it's not 6 or 5.5. And by the way, the Lakers fall in that category too, because I know when they're in the range of 5.5, you know, they're in the same exact category as Milwaukee. They're going to be locked up in 1 or 2 games, don't have a lot of depth. They just want to get into those seeding games and just get to the postseason. So both of those teams I'm looking under.
All right, well, let's move to the Western Conference like you talked about. But let's go to the Utah Jazz. Their win total at 3.5. The over -189. The under +160. We've heard all the rumblings about kind of the camaraderie between Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert. What kind of factor is that going to play heading into Orlando? And how would you look to bet this team?
I'll be honest, when it comes to that, I hate playing psychiatrists with things like that, you know, so like, and I like to base a lot of my research in numbers. So that's just what I go with. Whether the relationship's good or not, I'm not entirely sure. I would think you put that aside to win playoff games and whatnot, but regardless, that aside, Bojan Bogdanovic is a massive loss. This guy, they were over their defensive rating got better by about 6 points per 100 possessions when he was on the floor. Their offensive rating, they're a space and shooting team. He is one of their best, if not their best, 3-point shooter and volume scorer as well. He's an efficient scorer at that, and he just gives them a little bit of size. So if we're like everything emotional out of the window, the loss of Bojan Bogdanović is absolutely just, I think it might be a death knell for the Utah Jazz. They were already scuffling defensively. They were one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA in the last 18 games before the hiatus. They weren't getting any better. And without one of their best defensive presence along the wings, it's not going to get any better. So I'm out on Utah. I got them at 30-1. They're certainly at, like, I think like 40-50-1, depending on where you shop. There's just nothing left going for them at this point. I think they're a first round elimination.
All right, JBT, we got about 30 seconds. Any other teams, whether it be West or East, that you really like heading into this bubble, whether it be season win totals, futures, whatever it may be, who do you really like?
No, nothing really. We mentioned the win totals. I'd say keep an eye, as I usually do, with Philadelphia. Like, they are getting healthy. Shake Milton in the lineup is going to make them better, and they're in the range of like 30-1. You know, they could be somebody that makes a little bit of noise depending on what side of the bracket they fall on in the Eastern Conference.
All right, there he is, at me, JVT, on Twitter, host of The Edge, 10 to 11 Pacific time throughout the week. Be sure to catch it out, VSiN.com/subscribe. JVT, as always, appreciate the time, my man. Hopefully the next time we talk, we'll be doing it game-by-game basis.
You got it, man. Thank you.
All right, great stuff, as always, at me, JVT. Once again, to catch him on Twitter, always posting great content, host of The Edge, 10 to 11 Pacific time. Remember, VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, when we come back here on Bet on Chicago, myself, Danny Burke, will be looking at some MLB props. We'll go to head-to-head matchups, who's going to make the playoffs, and maybe some home run props as well. I've circled out some at Bet Rivers, DraftKings, all over the place. We'll look at some good value, which ones I like, and more. Plus, we'll talk to Josh Applebaum about baseball. All of that and more coming up next here on Bet on Chicago. Welcome back into Bet on Chicago. I'm Danny Burke with the Vegas Stats and Information Network. Big thanks to JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, for joining the program, talking some NBA and the return to play at the end of the month over in Orlando. At me, JVT, is where you can follow him on Twitter. Catch him hosting The Edge, 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Always a great show. Himself and Jacob Roach producing that show as well. Jacob does it all. So a big shout out to Jacob, who also helps produce here at Bet on Chicago. You've heard him before. At Roach_97 is where you can follow him. All right, we're going to take a turn here. We're going to talk some MLB. We'll talk more baseball with Josh Applebaum to end the show as well. He's got a few best bets that he put out in Point Spread Weekly. Remember, VSiN.com/subscribe. Content's completely free for the next week until the major sports return, so be sure to get it while you can. A great write-up revolving around his best bets with MLB season win totals. And we'll stick with those here, and we'll first look at the Cubs and the White Sox, and then we'll go with some other props that I like as well. But over at Bet Rivers in Chicago, we see the Cubs at 32.5, their win total, minus 112 each way. The White Sox are at 31.5, minus 112 each way. And when you look at the divisions and you see those odds, it's no surprise, really, that the Cubs are the favorite to win the NL Central just based on that hometown love. And remember, that's a big thing to keep a lookout for, too, is it's going to be swayed that way because of the hometown love and just that bias that way. So I know it's not going to be fun to bet against your team, but sometimes it is the right value play. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating that for the NL Central. We see the Cubs plus 225, the favorite, over at Bet Rivers. Then come the Cardinals at plus 240. The Reds, who have been a favorable offseason team, at plus 265. And the Brewers, you get them at 3-1. Then the Pirates are at 70-1. So I'm not here to tell you necessarily that I'm going one way or the other over on the Cubs season win total at 32.5. We've talked about it before, and some people do like the over. I would tend to lean that way. I'm just a little bit skeptical because it's so unprecedented what we're dealing with right now in this baseball season, and especially a crapshoot of a division like the NL Central. You don't really know who's going to thrive in this 60-game setting. Now, a lot of people like the Reds, and I'd probably gravitate toward the Reds season win total over. I'm not touching the win the division, though, just because it could go so many different ways that I just don't want anything to do with it. But now you look at a team like the White Sox, 31.5 is their season win total. And if you look at the AL Central, the Twins minus $1.30 to win it, The Indians plus 265, the White Sox plus 285, and the Royals are at 90-1. I don't know. You know, and then also really quick, you get the Tigers down at the bottom at 130-1. I don't really know if I want to rush to the counter to bet the White Sox either. Yes, they added some veteran presence along with their young guys coming up. You don't have Michael Kopech going this season, and I understand that that's not going to be necessarily a huge difference maker, but it's another pitcher to that rotation that you're anticipating getting back in the mix. I still have some concerns with that rotation. Can they do it throughout the course of a 60-game season? Their bats, I think, will be fun to watch. They'll get there. Luis Robert should have a great season. Last I saw, he was plus 400 to win AL Rookie of the Year. Their bullpen, obviously another concern with the White Sox. Another team that, if I were going to look to bet it, probably nothing with the division to make the playoffs. I'd maybe look that way. You can get those at some of the East Coast books as well. DraftKings, for example, offers all those. But 31.5, if anything, once again, I would lean a little bit toward the over. It's minus 112 each way. But both of these divisions are kind of tough because I think you're actually getting some decent value with the Twins at minus -130 to win the division, a team that thrived off of just being power hitting and really just dominating throughout the course of 162 games that way. They got a good young pitching, not necessarily really young, but they still have a pretty strong veteran pitching staff that can do well throughout this condition, throughout these conditions. And the Indians, I wasn't too high on it, but once again, I mean, it's just kind of a crapshoot of a division when it goes down past the Twins, in my opinion. Here's a win total that I do like, though. And this one also at Bet Rivers, and we'll talk about it with Josh Applebaum a little bit later, too. But how about the Boston Red Sox? And their win total's at 31.5. The over is minus 106. The under is minus 118. So remember, the White Sox are at 31.5. And same with the Red Sox. Remember, Alex Cora has a suspension. Mookie Betts, David Price going to the Dodgers. Price not playing this season. He's opting out. And then Chris Sale out with Tommy John, too. I was low on this Red Sox team even before everything happened. I think it's going to be a regression year for them. And specifically now with how everything of this layout is going to look, how motivated, not even motivated, but how much is this Red Sox team going to be geared up and ready to go? I think it's not going to be much. And I love the under for the Red Sox, under 31.5. It's a tough division. The Yankees are going to be the Yankees. The Blue Jays could even have a pretty surprising effort here. I know a lot of people like them for some value. And I think the Rays have a good opportunity to make the playoffs as well, which we'll talk about next. Yes or no, will some of these teams make the playoffs? I have a few bets that I really like. And we'll discuss that when we return here next on Bet on Chicago. Don't forget Josh Applebaum coming later as well. When we return here on Bet on Chicago with myself, Danny Burke, Jacob Roach, we'll be right back. Welcome back into Bet on Chicago. Danny Burke, as always, here in Las Vegas, Nevada, with the Vegas Stats and Information Network at Danny Burke 5s, where you can follow me on Twitter. Coming up next, we'll talk with Josh Applebaum at Josh_Insights, is where you can follow him on Twitter. We're going to continue the conversation with baseball, not only this segment, but with him as well. Remember, VSiN.com/subscribe. He had a great write-up with some of his best bets for MLB season win totals, his betting strategy we'll talk about. All of that and more coming up to round out another edition of Bet on Chicago. Last segment, we were talking about the Cubs, the White Sox, looking at the division odds at Bet Rivers, their win total, et cetera. At DraftKings, they have an interesting prop as well. Yes or no to make the playoffs. The Cubs, yes, is plus 115. The no, minus 139. The White Sox, some good value. The yes, plus 180. The no, minus 225. Pretty much said I don't have too much confidence to put forth an actual bet for the Cubs or White Sox, both season win totals and division-wise. I think it's going to be a complete crapshoot in each respective division. But if you're looking for more so of a value play, if you're going to do anything, I think maybe you take a gander at the Sox. Yes, plus 180 just based off the value there. However, I do think there are a lot better betting options that are presented for the yes and no, will they make the playoffs? And I'll get started with the teams that I've rounded out. And we'll start in the AL East, which I talked about right before the end of last segment, and that's the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, they're minus 110 each way. Remember, they get the Orioles in their division. I already talked about the Red Sox. I love their season win total under. I think they're going to slump. Not a good pitching rotation. You lose a lot of key players. The Blue Jays are going to be a young and exciting team. I know a lot of people are betting them for value. However, they may still just be a little bit too young, a year behind, and especially in this crazy season, who knows if they'll be ready to take on that adversity. So I think the Rays are going to have a good opportunity to win the wild card or just be able to make the playoffs in the wild card position. Obviously, the Yankees are going to be the Kings, most likely, of the AL East. But I think at minus 110, with the improvement we've seen over the years with the Rays and their starting rotation with Morton, Snell, and Glasnow and their bullpen, I like the Tampa Bay Rays, yes, minus 110 to make the playoffs. All right, and if you're looking for a little bit more value, now a lot of people might scoff at this, but how about the Texas Rangers? The yes is plus 650 to make the playoffs. The no is a little bit over minus 1100. So what did the Rangers do this offseason? Well, they bring in Corey Kluber, adding it to a good, solid rotation that already had Lance Lynn and Mike Minor, who had really solid seasons this past year. They also bring in Jordan Lyles, Kyle Gibson, nothing that's going to make you go crazy, but still nice additions. The bullpen is a little bit concerning for the Rangers, but this is a team that could have a good opportunity to get on a nice little hot streak in these 60 games. They were 10 games above 500 in late June, and after Gallo and Pence got hurt, that's really when they suffered and things started going south. Now, as we know, Gallo has Corona right now, but if he's able to get back in the mix and get back to being healthy, I think he can provide, as we all know, a bunch of power for this team that also is bringing in Todd Frazier, Robinson Chirinos. They have enough power, in my mind, offensively to make some noise in a short period of time. So I'm not going to say they're going to overcome the Athletics, they're going to overcome the Astros and win the division, but if you think that 16-1 to win the AL West, I do think based off the value and what could happen in this condensed season and based on the wild card, I think the yes at plus 650 is worth a little bit of a look, a little bit of a flyer potentially on this Rangers team. Yes, plus 650 for the Texas Rangers. I love it. All right. Now, how about the defending World Series champions, the Washington Nationals? You lose Rendon to the Angels. You still got Strasburg, Max Scherzer, and Patrick Corbin, who combined for a 3.18 ERA across 93 starts. We know they got off to a slow start last season, 19-31. Chuck and I have talked about it. Wouldn't be the case. They would not be making the playoffs if that happens this season. But will they make the playoffs? Yes is even money at DraftKings. The no is the favorite at minus 121, and I am leaning the way toward the favorite. The Nationals, as we know, have had a struggling bullpen, and they have a great starting rotation, like I just pointed out. But can their starters go deep enough consistently? I've already kind of hit on throughout VSiN's network and even here on Bet on Chicago, you got to imagine these starters are going to be on a short leash. It's going to be a playoff type atmosphere, shorter rotations. You're going to implement the bullpen earlier on is what a lot of people are imagining, including myself, that these managers are going to do. So I don't trust their bullpen too much. They're in a tough division as well. You got the Braves, the Mets, the Phillies, and the Marlins, who will give you heat every now and then. I just don't like this Nationals team to make the playoffs, really. I think the value lies with the no minus $1.20, really minus 121. You already add in the World Series hangover with any team that wins the World Series generally. And a lot of teams get off to that slow start, and now you're only getting 60 games. So is that going to play even more of a factor now? So maybe it does and maybe it does. But I'm leaning toward the latter that it does. So I don't think the Nationals make the playoffs. I like laying the minus 121 with the no that the Nationals are going to miss out on the playoffs this season. All right, how about we stick in the same division, though? How about the Phillies? The yes is at plus 215 to make the postseason. The no, minus 275. So I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of the Phillies. I loved fading them this past season. But you look at the value there. Yes, plus 215. So I know it's a tough division, but how about the Braves? We talk about them really quick. They still have a deep roster. But remember, Freddie Freeman's dealing with COVID right now. Markakis is opting out. The Nationals, I just talked about, I think they're going to decline. The Mets, while a lot of people are kind of higher on them, they got a good rotation as well. They have a really tough schedule. And I'm not high on the Phillies rotation by any means. You got Jake Arrieta, Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, who may be missing some games for paternity leave. Can Jake Arrieta return to his norm? We haven't seen it yet with the Phillies. So I get why you'd be skeptical about their pitching, but how about their hitting? They bring in Didi Gregorius, Andrew McCutchen, who are veteran players who can bring in experience, but they could probably do enough to provide a short spark needed to make the playoffs. And overall, we know the Phillies have the bats there. Once again, they just have to have that consistency. And can they manage to do it throughout 60 games? I certainly think they can, and especially at the value of plus 215. So I think taking a little bit flyer on the Phillies at yes, plus 215 would not be a bad look as well. All right. So once again, just to really recap some of the teams I'm looking at, yes or no to make the playoffs. I like the Rays, yes, minus 110. The Rangers, the short flyer at yes, plus 650. The Nationals to miss out, the no is minus 121. And the Phillies to make the playoffs, a little bit of value as well, plus 215. And really quick, some other props that I also thought were pretty interesting. How about Mike Trout? 15 and a half home runs at DraftKings. The over is minus 124. The under is even money. Now, this has already gotten bet down. It was at 16 and a half, now at 15 and a half. We already know that Mike Trout's probably going to miss some part of the season to tend to his wife who's pregnant. That's public news. It's nothing surprising. It's not like we have an advantage there knowing that. Everybody knows it. But I still think the under would be the way to go at even money under 15 and a half home runs. You just don't know what stretch it's going to be necessarily and how long. So I think the best and safe bet would be to go under 15 and a half Mike Trout home runs. And then if you go back to the NL Central, Christian Yelich, he's at 14 and a half, the over plus 105, the under 14 and a half minus a buck 30. Talked about it before. Christian Yelich dominates against division opponents, specifically the Cubs. I think Yelich could get on a hot streak. I like him over 14 and a half and would even take a flyer at 25 to one to have the most home runs. So those are some prop bets that I like revolving around Major League Baseball. We'll continue our conversation with Major League Baseball. And for that, bring in our friend Josh Applebaum, VSiN's betting reporter, some of his best bets for MLB season win totals we'll discuss next here on Bet on Chicago. Welcome back into Bet on Chicago. I'm Danny Burke with the Vegas Stats and Information Network, as always in Las Vegas, Nevada. But we're going across the country to talk with our man, Josh Applebaum at Josh_insights on Twitter, VSiN's betting reporter, to talk some baseball. Josh, it's good to talk to you, my man. How are you doing?
Danny, I'm doing great. It's great to be back in the swing of things. Baseball is about a week away here, so excited to talk some win totals and hopefully identify a couple winners along the way.
Absolutely. We're excited to hear them. And, you know, Josh, the one of many topic of conversations has been who's going to have the advantage, not maybe who's going to have the advantage, but where is the advantage going to be when it comes to betting baseball? Now, I know you're a guy that looks at many angles, looks at the analytical aspect where the positive value is, where you see the line movements, all of that you take into account. How are you looking to really dissect all of that heading into this baseball season? Of course, it's a completely different outlook. So how are you looking to handicap this baseball season?
Yeah, Danny, you're definitely right. I think we're in for a very unpredictable year, obviously, with the shortened schedule. And we're going to have to see how kind of the rule changes. Obviously, the NL adding the DH is going to be a big angle that we'll have to look at. But I'm just going to kind of roll with the punches. I mean, I'm leaning a lot on, you know, line movement. I think the public will be really, really excited to get back into betting baseball. So I think you're going to see, you know, and for the benefit of MLB, they're going to be the first sport really getting started here. So I think you're going to get a lot of, you know, thirsty bettors who are going to bet on your biggest name teams, your Yankees, your Dodgers, obviously your Chicago audience, the Cubs, you know, Red Sox, teams like that. So I think hopefully we'll have a little bit more of a contrarian opportunity to bet against the public just from a thirsty audience who wants to get down. I'm looking at kind of overs, just generally speaking. It's kind of weird because, you know, I'm a contrarian bettor. I like to bet against the public. I like to place myself on the side of the house. I like to take advantage of inflated numbers. And typically that means betting unders just because the public is really, really biased toward wanting to see home runs and runs scored and more runs in general. But I think with adding the DH, I think also the fact that the season is getting started right in the, you know, the end of July when the weather's really nice, it's hot out, it's humid, you know, the ball travels further with the less dense air. I think we, especially with the juice ball era, you know, last year's results, typically unders are really, really, you know, your smart bet in general across most sports. But I'm looking to see maybe some overs here. We'll have to see how that plays out. But really excited to get the sport going because it's such a grinder sport, Danny, and so many betting opportunities every day in MLB.
All right, Josh, you make a great point that a lot of the public is just going to be honed in on a lot of these teams that have been making noise throughout the offseason. One of those teams is the Chicago White Sox over at Bet Rivers in Chicago. The White Sox plus 285 to win the AL Central. The Indians plus 265. The Twins are the favorite, minus -130. Then you get the lowly Royals down at the bottom at 90-1. Any thoughts on the American League Central with the White Sox at plus 285? And then on the other side in the NL, we see the Cubs as the odds-on favorite, plus 225. Do you have any strong thoughts when it comes to the Cubs and the Sox heading into this season?
So White Sox are interesting to me. They went 72-89 last year. They missed the playoffs for the 11th straight season. They did have good offseason. You know, Yasmani Grandal, I think, was a big pickup. Keuchel, Encarnacion, they traded for Mazzara, locked up Moncada. Luis Robert, if you're interested in a futures bet, he favorite to win the AL Rookie of the Year at plus 400. I think even though it's kind of a somewhat of a low number, I think he's got a good shot at winning that award. But yeah, their win total is 31.5, and we'll talk about it in a second. Looking at win totals, I like to see some liability one way or another. I'll look all across the market and see, you know, are the odds makers juicing up one side or the other? So at BetMGM, it's minus 110 both sides. A lot of books are pretty even here. 31.5 wins is translated to about 85.1 wins based on a 162 game. 72 to theoretically 85 wins. I think it's a big leap for the White Sox. I also look at Fangraphs as well, what they're projecting. They're projecting the Southsiders to go 30-30. So I kind of like the future of the White Sox. I think, you know, with Moncada and with Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert, unfortunate, you know, Kopech opted out, but with Giolito, I like their future. I just think they might still be a little young and it might still be a little early. So with that Fangraphs projection of 30 wins, you know, I think under 31.5 has a little bit of value.
All right, we're talking with Josh Applebaum at Josh_insights here on Bet on Chicago with myself, Danny Burke. You can follow me on Twitter at DannyBurke5. Remember, VSiN.com/subscribe. Josh had a great write-up in Point Spread Weekly with some of his favorite best bets for the season win totals in the MLB. So, Josh, unfortunately, we don't have too much time. I could talk to you forever about this, but let's do a little bit of rapid fire with some of your best bet for season win totals. And let's start with the Yankees. Over at Bet Rivers, they have the same number that you found yours at, 37.5 for the season win total for the Yankees. The over is plus 105 at Bet Rivers. The under minus -130. A lot of people are loving the Yankees this season, Josh, but you're thinking otherwise here.
Yeah, I wrote about this in Points Spread Weekly. Highly recommend if you haven't signed up. It's free right now. So VSiN.com, you can sign up there and sign up for the newsletter as well, VSiN.com/newsletter. But yeah, Yankees are really one of my favorite and I believe one of the sharpest under bets of the win total season here. So number one, the public loves big name teams, big franchises, and especially teams that quote unquote won the offseason or added a big name player. So adding Gerrit Cole, they went 103-59 last year. The public is all over the Yankees and just thinking they're going to have a great season and, you know, get close to 40 wins. But based on that juice, really the odds makers are telling you they've taken in a lot of sharp money on that under. The fact that it's juiced up minus 125, minus 130, pretty much every book you look at, even though the public's betting the over, the juice liability is really on the under. So that tells me a lot of smart money came in on the under. Also, Fangraphs, this is one of your biggest discrepancy plays because Fangraphs is projecting the Yankees 34-26. So that's about a 3.5 game edge to the under. So I like, you know, kind of the classic contrarian opportunity to bet against the popular team, even though you have some kind of little reverse line movement there with the juice on the under. So I think there's some value there. And I also think with this shortened season, 60 games, kind of one facet I'm looking at is, you know, with the unpredictability, with the variance, just generally speaking, I think, you know, betting good teams to go under, bad teams to go over, that's a general rule of thumb in a really weird season this year.
All right. Well, how about the Angels? Now, this is a fascinating team heading into the season. Their win total's at 32.5. Mike Trout, don't know how consistent he's going to be throughout the season. At some point, we know he's going to leave. They have a lot of weapons that could thrive in a 60-game season with a manager like Joe Maddon, who's known to do wacky things. How are you viewing this Angels team? I mean, I know the public, a team that thinks that they could be a dark horse, or the public thinks that, you know, they could be a team, like I kind of said, that would play particularly well in this kind of atmosphere. Are you of the same notion, or is it going to be, no, public's thinking that, I'm going the other way?
I see a little bit of value here on the under. You know, kind of reminds me of a fade the trendy dog type play, contrarian play in general. You know, they added Rendon, you know, obviously great third baseman, won the World Series, was the best hitter on, you know, the championship team there with the Nationals. They also got Madden, and, you know, they've kind of just Madden, Rendon, and obviously Mike Trout, who was the favorite to an AL MVP around plus 130. The public wants to root for them. They went 72-90 last year. Their win total is 32.5. That translates to around an 88 win season. So again, that's another big jump there. Can they be virtually 16 games better than last year when you kind of compare those two win totals? I think that's a lot. Again, another juice play to the under. The total win total is 32.5, but the under is juiced up to minus 120. FanGraphs has LA going 30-30. Also, I just think their pitching staff, I don't think they have enough. I mean, Teheran is questionable. They have Haney, Dylan Bundy, Matt Andrees, Patrick Sandoval. I love their lineup, but you know, I don't think they have enough pitching. I see some value to the under. And then what if Trout has to, you know, bow out when his child's born? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they're doing well and then he's out and then he has to quarantine. So Angels to me have some sharp action there and reasons to bet the under.
All right, Josh, we got a couple minutes left here at Josh_insights is where you could follow Josh Applebaum. VSiN's betting reporters. We're going over some of his best bets for the MLB season win totals. All right. I want to go to a team that's close here with the NL Central being the Brewers, and their win total at about 30.5 is where you got it at. And a lot of people, myself included, actually don't think the Brewers are going to be too much this season, but you're looking over on their win total.
Yeah, I see a little bit of value on the Brewers here. You know, their win total is 30.5. I think, again, a buy low, sell high opportunity where the public is kind of down on them because they lost Moustakas, Grandal, Eric Thames. And really, you know, they obviously still have Yelich, who, you know, is, you know, plus 700 to win the NL MVP. I'm really high on Keston Hiura. I think he could be another guy who could actually kind of get close to maybe lead the NL on average or just have a good season overall. But Brew Crew, 89-73 last season. They've averaged 90.3 wins over the last three seasons. I like kind of just the foundation and the program under Craig Counsell. Their win total is 30.5, which projects to around 82.35 wins. FanGraphs is right there at 32-28. So that would be a 1.5 game edge to the over. I think they had some good, you know, patchwork additions there. Avisail Garcia, Justin Smoke. I like Omar Narvaez, picked him up from the Mariners, Brock Holt, Eric Sogard. So they would be a little bit of a buy low team, but you're right, Danny, that is a tough NL Central. But I think, can the Brewers get you 31 wins? I think there's a little value there.
All right, Josh, really quick. We got 30 seconds left. I know you like the over for the Tigers 20.5, but I got to get your quick thoughts on the Red Sox under 31.5. 'Cause I'm right there with you.
Oh, the Red Sox, man. I love them. Born and raised in Massachusetts, but the Sox are an underplay this year. They've had a terrible offseason. Alex Cora was suspended, traded away Mookie Betts, David Price, Chris Sale, Tommy John. Really did nothing in free agency. They wanted to get under the luxury tax there. Erod test positive for coronavirus. Their rotation is just god awful. Evaldi, Perez, Ryan Weber, Brian Johnson. The over under is 31.5. It's juiced up big to the under minus 125. FanGraphs has them 31-29. So I bet a lot of overs. Just betting, you know, totals in general. I think they got a great lineup, terrible pitching, but I see the Sox right at 500. Little value to the under 31.5.
And you know it's a good bet because, like he said, he's a diehard Red Sox fan. You don't hear that from the Fenway faithful too often. Josh, as always, appreciate the time, my man. Look forward to chatting again soon.
Thanks so much for having me on, Danny. Appreciate it.
All right, you bet. At Josh_insights, where you can catch him on Twitter. That's going to wrap up another great edition of Bet on Chicago. Thanks for tuning in. Best of luck with your bets, and we'll catch you next week.